There's a sickness that's become so normalized and expected now that most people just call it life. No one prescribes pills for it, but everyone's medicating anyway. And you can feel it when you walk into a grocery store with only $14 and 3 days left until payday. Or when you stare at your phone wondering why the rich are joyriding in space while you're Googling how to fix a broken filling with super glue. This is what it looks like when inequality stops being a statistic and starts being a sentence. Okay, here we go. We're living through what I think might be the most elegant scam in history. This is a heist so slow and subtle, but so common that we started blaming ourselves for being robbed. And it's not just corporate capitalism, it's feudalism with Wi-Fi. They just added some apps and gave it a facelift. So Yiannis Varoufakis calls it techno-feudalism, and you've probably heard this term lately. And this is generally the idea that the modern elite class didn't just get rich, they rewrote the rules. So in the old system, you made things and you sold them, and now you just rent the platform. You pay the toll. Amazon owns the store, and in some respects, it owns the road to the store and to your house, and you own the stress and maybe an inspirational mug that mocks you every morning. So tech giants aren't competing in a free market. They are the market. They're the landlords of the digital realm, and we're the peasants in emotional debt, paying rent with our attention and our data, our dignity, and the occasional selfie in portrait mode. And it's not that racism and sexism and all the other isms have vanished. Far from it. But this new version of the class war, it's more insidious, because it co-opts every other division and it turns them into clickbait. It monetizes outrage like it's oxygen. It feeds us stories about who's offending who, or who's canceling who, or who used the wrong pronoun, or who ate the wrong salad, all while quietly relocating trillions of dollars to the top 1%. You know, bread and circuses, same as it ever was, but now the bread is moldy and the circus is live streamed through TikTok influencers arguing with AI therapists. Okay, now this is the part where it gets historical. You know, we've done this before in our past, over and over again. You know, the French Revolution didn't start because someone forgot to be polite. It started because a bloated aristocracy squeezed the working class so hard that heads had to roll, literally. The Spartacus slave revolt was basically the same story, just a lot earlier. A bunch of poor bastards that were pushed way past the breaking point. You know, Rome called it treason. And history called it a tantrum of the oppressed. Now, let's fast forward to the Gilded Age of the USA, where the richest men weren't just rich. They were basically godlike. Rockefeller, Carnegie, Vanderbilt, you've heard these names. They had more power than some governments. While kids were working 14-hour days in coal mines, these guys were busy deciding whether to buy another railroad or just rename a city after themselves. And then came the crash. You know, 1929, the Great Depression, and this is when the system finally tripped over its own greed and face-planted. You know, millions were unemployed, banks collapsing, suicide rates spiking, and, you know, it didn't have to happen. But when you concentrate wealth long enough, you concentrate collapse. All right, so the economist Thomas Piketty has spent most of his career proving with some conviction that this is the cycle. You know, capital grows faster than wages, inequality rises, society cracks, and then eventually one of two things will happen. A revolution or a reset. Heads or handouts. Joseph Stiglitz, another heavyweight, says inequality isn't just bad for the poor, it's bad for the economy itself. It gums up growth. It kills innovation and creates a system where the only thing that trickles down is anxiety and resentment. And now we've entered a phase where billionaires aren't just rich. They're gods with private satellites and biotech labs. You know, they're buying citizenships, launching rockets, prepping bunkers in New Zealand while telling you to keep manifesting abundance. Imagine if the pharaohs of Egypt came back, but instead of pyramids, they built social media platforms. And then they made the slaves argue with each other about gender roles and gluten. Okay, so what the hell is techno-feudalism? Sounds kind of like something you'd find in a rejected Dune sequel, right? But according to economist and former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, it's not sci-fi metaphor. It's where we actually are now. All right, so Varoufakis argues that we've slipped into a post-capitalist system and not in the utopian, we've transcended money and now live in a synthwave eco-commune kind of way. No, this is darker. In techno-feudalism, markets don't really run things anymore. Platforms do. And what this means is that the old capitalism ran on competition. You made stuff, you sold stuff, and you tried to outdo your competitor. And now, try competing with Amazon. Try selling art without crossing Meta's toll bridge. Or try reaching people without paying the social media algorithm tax. You don't compete anymore. You submit. You bend the knee to your techno-feudal overlord. Okay, so in the Middle Ages, you didn't own the land. The Lord did. You just got to survive on it as long as you paid rent and harvested crops and bowed at the right times. These days, the land is digital. The lords are tech giants. And instead of grain, we hand over our data and our attention, our souls wrapped in 60-second content with royalty-free music. And the harvest is harvested from us. So what that means is Facebook owns your memories, Google owns your thoughts, Apple owns your wallet, and you get a personalized user experience. And an existential void deep enough to park Elon Musk's ego. And speaking of him, billionaires used to at least pretend they weren't cartoon villains. Now they cosplay as Tony Stark while treating workers like NPCs in a side quest about quarterly earnings. They talk about colonizing Mars while entire zip codes can't even afford insulin. So in this brave new world, capital doesn't mean land or factories anymore. It means platforms. Whoever owns the digital infrastructure owns the future. And everyone else is just renting their place in the feed. So here's the fun part of inequality. And by fun, I mean soul decaying and democracy eroding. When the wealth gap grows wide enough, it becomes a chasm deep enough to swallow the truth. And in that vacuum, you can amplify and exploit all sorts of distractions, such as racism, sexism, culture wars, identity panic, and so forth. Because the more people feel powerless, the more desperate they become to matter somewhere, somehow. And if you can't climb the economic ladder, you start to look for someone else to step on. And that's how class war gets rebranded as culture war. That's how people end up yelling at baristas for using whole milk instead of realizing that their landlord is a human PayPal button, siphoning half their income for a roach-infested shoebox. It's misdirection and manipulation, like watching people on the Titanic argue about pronouns while the deck tilts into the ice-cold Atlantic. And this strategy has always worked. Divide the slaves so they don't revolt together. Divide the serfs so they don't question the king. Divide the workers so they don't unionize and realize their boss makes 500 times their salary to walk around with a latte and mispronounce their name. This isn't me being poetic. This is historical fact. the Spartacus revolt didn't fail because gladiators lacked passion. It failed because Rome knew how to divide, intimidate, and pick them off. And the Gilded Age robber barons in the U.S., they used immigrant labor to undercut workers. Then they blamed the workers for being poor. You know, classic divide and conquer tactics. And now it's all just done algorithmically. So, social media doesn't just reflect division, it monetizes it. You know, the more polarized we are, the more we click. And every click is currency. We don't even need shadowy conspiracy theory. This is just the business model. And the model is the conspiracy. And here's the most effed up part. When people finally do try to come together, they, you know, when they protest or unionize or demand basic dignity, they're painted as dangerous. Extremists, anarchists, threats to democracy. And meanwhile, billionaires host space races with public money and then call themselves innovators. You know, what they fear, it isn't chaos. They fear unity. They fear solidarity. And they fear us waking up and realizing that racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, they all serve the same master, economic control. If we're busy hating each other, we'll never look up to see the boot. And look, don't get me wrong. Those problems are very real and very traumatic. And, you know, these issues can be very complex. But when we pretend they exist in isolation, you know, we're ultimately just arguing over symptoms while the disease throws another yacht party. Okay. So there's this line that's often misattributed to Mark Twain. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And right now, that chorus is, you know, it's sounding familiar. So let's rewind to the French Revolution for a minute. The aristocracy was so insulated in obscene wealth and peasant blind palaces, they were stunned, shocked when people showed up with actual pitchforks. The phrase, let them eat cake, wasn't just callous. It was meta. It was the billionaire mindset of the 18th century. You know, blissfully, arrogantly dumb as gold-plated bricks. And then we've got the Great Depression, not a meteor or natural disaster, but the result of unfettered greed. The 1920s roared because the rich hoarded money and the poor borrowed fake money. And the whole house of cards collapsed when someone sneezed on Wall Street. Does any of this sound familiar? So, How about now? The top 1% holds more wealth than the entire middle class combined. I mean, what's left of the middle class? You know, one tech CEO has more control over your daily life than your local government. Debt is the new leash, and student loans are just indentured servitude with a graduation cap. You know, we're not in capitalism anymore. Not really. We've wandered into modern day oligarchy, techno-feudalism, you know, a shiny, optimized digital serfdom where the new lords are billionaires, the new land is data, and you're the crop being harvested. So, Varoufakis calls this cloud capital. Power not just in money, but in infrastructure. Amazon, Google, Meta, they're not just platforms, they're the plumbing of modern life. You know, we don't just use them, we exist inside them. And like any good landlord, they charge rent, not in cash, but in attention. You know, Thomas Piketty has shown over and over that when the return on capital exceeds the rate of economic growth, wealth concentrates, democracy decays, and finally the middle class dissolves like aspirin in vodka. And Joseph Stiglitz says it more bluntly, inequality is not an accident. It's intentional. It's policy, design. We built a system that rewards exploitation and punishes empathy, and then act surprised when the world turns cruel. And, you know, here's the crux. None of this works unless we buy into it. Not just economically, psychologically. We're groomed to believe that our value is in what we produce. I mean, hustle culture, side gigs, grind set, be your own boss, which usually means working 80 hours for yourself so you don't have to work 40 for someone else, as if that's really freedom. You know, we internalize failure as some kind of personal flaw and never a systemic outcome. So when we're broken, you know, and burned out, we don't revolt. We self-help one way or another, which isn't itself a bad thing, depending on what your idea of self-help is. But at some point, we can't just download another mindfulness app and try to meditate the exploitation away. All right. I think most of us would agree it's a weird time to be alive. We have more choices than any generation in history, to the point of choice paralysis. You know, we can order sushi, apply for a job, swipe on a potential soulmate, and start a business all while sitting on the toilet. But somehow, we've never felt less in control. And that's not a glitch, that's a feature. Because freedom has been repackaged into a giant subscription plan. Of course, you're free to speak unless it violates community guidelines. And you're free to move unless rent is 70% of your paycheck. And you're free to choose between two brands owned by the same parent company. So in techno-feudalism, you don't fight oppression with chains and swords. You sedate it with dopamine and Wi-Fi. And while the boot is still on your neck, now it has a clean logo and a customer support chatbot. But let's not forget, class isn't just an economic designation anymore. It's a metaphysical experience. If you've ever tried to explain your financial anxiety to someone with a trust fund, you know what I mean. You're not even speaking the same language. You're on Earth. They're on a private jet floating above reality. They've never had to choose between insulin and groceries. They think scarcity is like an aesthetic. The working class isn't just exploited, it's gaslit. I mean, every failed system is blamed on a bad attitude or poor choices or not manifesting abundance hard enough, etc. And while we do have some degree of agency and responsibility in our lives, of course, the system tells us to dream big while the dream gets auctioned off to the highest bidder. Okay, so what do? We usually turn inward. We disassociate. And we self-medicate, we doom-scroll, we lose ourselves in virtual worlds because the real one feels hopelessly rigged. But here's the deeply inconvenient truth. It's only rigged because we keep playing the game. Now, I'm not saying to go full Unabomber and live in a shack, but maybe we should stop worshiping the pyramid and start asking who built it and who's still bleeding to keep it standing. All right, so every empire eventually overplays its hand. You know, Rome had its decadence. And Versailles had its cake, you know, and now we have CEOs talking about colonizing Mars while the warehouse workers piss in bottles. You don't even need a guillotine, just a Wi-Fi connection and an HR department too broke to cover dental. History keeps a receipt for every Gilded Age. The Spartacus slave revolt, the French Revolution, the labor strikes that led to the New Deal. None of these were polite Facebook posts. They were messy, bloody, and human. Techno-feudalism means we have cloud barons with terms of service agreements instead of landlords with swords. The whole point is this isn't capitalism anymore. It's feudalism in skinny jeans with surveillance software. So Thomas Piketty pointed out that unless something radically changes, wealth inequality will always snowball. You know, capital grows faster than wages, and unless you're born into it, you're not getting in. It's like musical chairs, but the song never stops, and the chairs were bought by hedge funds. And Stiglitz chimes in with a similar warning. When inequality grows too wide, democracy collapses under the weight of lobbyists and donor class wet dreams. You stop having a functioning society and start living in a gated simulation. And the really scary part, it doesn't look like rebellion anymore. It looks like quiet resignation. So instead of storming the gates, we're scrolling past them. We're not throwing tea into harbors. We're binge watching Netflix while the harbor gets privatized. And, you know, that's the real tragedy here. We're not angry so much as angry and exhausted. Distracted and, you know, just comfortable enough to stay miserable. But comfort historically has never been the end game. It's the sedative that they give you before the surgery. All right. Let's say you're not thrilled about being a disposable cog in a cloud-based fiefdom. Let's say you'd prefer not to spend the rest of your life trading your time for money that immediately disappears into some digital landlord's crypto wallet. Let's say, just for fun, you're mildly allergic to being owned. So now what? Well, here's where things get tricky. There's no single answer, you know, no sexy manifesto or app that fixes modern feudalism. But there are some fissures that are in the machine, fault lines you can stick a crowbar into. Number one, that would be organized labor. Not exactly sexy, I know. Doesn't trend on TikTok. But you'd be amazed at how quickly a billionaire gets humble when the workers who actually make their empire run decide they're done playing pretend. Unionizing is slow, boring, and thankless work. But it's also historically the only thing that's ever forced systemic change without blood in the streets. Number two, platform cooperatives. So imagine if Uber were owned by the drivers. Or if the guy cleaning the toilets at Amazon owned a stake in the building. It's not utopian, it's just basic fairness, right? But fairness apparently is now a radical leftist idea. That's how far we've drifted. All right, number three, wealth taxes. Cue the lobbyists clutching their pearls. Yeah, I know. You can't tax innovation, but we're not taxing ideas. We're taxing the seventh mansion that sits empty while someone else works three jobs just to not die. You know, Piketty's argument is simple. If we don't redistribute, the economy turns into a vampire, feeding off the living and hoarding the blood. All right. Number four, psychological resistance. This one is more subtle, It's not protest signs or Molotov cocktails. It's refusing to define your worth by productivity. It's detaching from the consumer treadmill and saying no to the endless cycle of upgrade or perish. It's minimalism, community, mutual aid, and it's radical honesty. It's unplugging from the lie that if you just work hard enough, the machine will eventually spit you out a trophy. But, maybe you can spit yourself out instead. All right, here's the thing. Every dying empire has its rituals. Rome had orgies and vomitoriums, and we've got influencers selling detox teas while billionaires LARP as moon colonists. History doesn't actually repeat, but it definitely likes to plagiarize itself. And the craziest part is we know. We feel it in our bones and in our inboxes and in the polite little emails that say, unfortunately, we've decided to move forward with another candidate. When you've already been eating cereal for dinner for three nights in a row and wondering if your life is just a failed side quest in someone else's simulation. We're not just living in an unequal society. We're marinating in it. Every tweet, every price tag, every dating app bio, casually filtering for a six-figure income, it all reinforces the same thing. If you're not winning, you're just background noise in someone else's highlight reel. But the thing is, the winners aren't really winning either. They're just trapped in a different gilded cage, addicted to more, addicted to endless growth, addicted to the game, because it's really just a game to them. And no one knows how to stop playing, because the board itself is the prison. This is techno-feudalism. But unlike medieval times, you don't even get a chicken. You just get an email saying your cloud storage is full and your rent went up again. So what do? I think you start small and stop pretending the system makes sense. Stop tying your self-worth to your LinkedIn endorsements. Find your people, the ones who see the glitch in the matrix, who aren't hypnotized by hustle culture, who are still capable of, crying at a sunset or laughing at nothing on a Tuesday. You rebel by refusing to buy in. It's as much about not doing something as it is about doing something. You create things. You grow things. You organize, you unplug, even if it's just for a few minutes, you look your loneliness in the eye and you say, you don't get to run the show. You reclaim your mind. Because if they can't extract your attention, they can't profit off of your despair. Now look, I don't have a neat bow to tie this up with. The story probably doesn't end with a revolution and a sunrise. It ends like most things do, with a sigh. And maybe a slightly better question than the one we started with. But that's something which might lead to something more. And in a system that thrives on your hopelessness, that something might be a mutiny. Thanks for watching.